some of us never really progress beyond childhood in our attitude to life. I know in many respects I haven't, especially my sense of humour. Whilst this may be psychologically worrying, it does give a signpost towards the spiritual condition that followers of Christ should be seeking to inhabit. Namely, we are to consider ourselves children of God, with this being a foundational aspect of our nature as Jesus' disciples and core to what it means to be Jesus' shepherd. But of course, in respect to our lives of faith, it is not childishness that we're to be seeking to live out, but a faith that is childlike. However, it seems to me that much of what we do as Christians and much of what is termed discipleship comes close to, if not actively seeking to, is about us losing that sense of childlikeness. We are to mature as followers of Jesus, but we are to never stop being children of God. We are to never lose that sense of childlikeness in our faith. Why? Because Jesus says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Just as we're always to be disciples of Jesus, we are always going to be children of God. We will never mature into a place of equality with God the Father. We will always be in a relationship of parent-like dependence upon God the Father. And that is not something to mourn, but something that should set us free. We are to be children of the Father. And this is something that Paul eventually gets round to addressing in our reading from his letters to the Christians in Ephesus. Even though Paul only refers to his readers as being children of God right at the end of our reading, the rest of the words we heard aren't just preamble, but they're foundational for what he says about our relationship as God, as Father. In these words, Paul is continually contrasting the kind of life that the Ephesians Christians had before they came to faith in Jesus with the new life that they now have in him. Paul even trots out his favourite metaphor of putting on your old life and putting on your new self. And there is this to-ing and fro-ing within these words between that old and new, which the Ephesians had experienced, and the new which they can now experience. And Paul, interestingly, uses the word infant in chapter 4, verse 14, to describe the former life. Whereas he'll go on to describe their new life in Christ as being like children of the Father. Is this a deliberate contrast? Possibly, with infants being childish and children being like their parents. God the Father. Paul, in our reading, isn't setting out a legalistic list of do's and don'ts. He's writing that salvation comes through grace. And so, just Christian living. It's only because of God's grace to you that you can live this new way of life in Jesus. Then we come to the first two verses in chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a great offering and sacrifice to God. These words, Lincoln comments, are a mirror image of the opening words of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The words at the beginning of his letter are the truth of what God has done for us. But then in chapter 5, we have how we are to respond to God as his dearly beloved children. We demonstrate our kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ in a similar manner to the way that God has shown his kindness to us in saving us. And remarkably, we're called to imitate God the Father. The exhortation to imitate God is only found here in this explicit way. It isn't merely obeying or living a holy life, but actually being like God and who we are. And it's a remarkable calling Paul outlines here. And it's all founded upon his assertion made at the beginning of his letter and in other places in his letters that we've been adopted into God's family through coming to faith in Jesus. And because we've been adopted into God's family as followers of Jesus, we can therefore take on the characteristics of the family to which we now belong. For years, people told me I looked like my dad. I could never see it, and I'm still really can't. I used to be really bothered by it, but not really anymore. But what I find more is that I do things as my dad used to do. Or I look at the world in the same way as my dad used to do. This discernible family likeness. The apple has not fallen far from the tree. And you may well see the same tendencies in your own life. Aspects of your character. And Paul is saying here at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5 that if someone belongs to the family of God, if they are a beloved child of the Father, they will take on characteristics of the family to which they belong. His readers belong to God's family. And as God's children, they have received his love. And so they should be like him, show his love to others. Love is to be the distinctive family likeness. Not a receding hairline, not a prominent nose, not lactose intolerance, but love. As adopted children of our Heavenly Father, we're to model our characters after our Heavenly Father, and therefore we can be like our Heavenly Father. And we do this because we're new creatures in Christ. We are God's handiwork. Therefore, we can be like God. Paul is not the only New Testament writer to pick up on that in Christ we are children of God. Jesus, as we talked about earlier, points out this. And in other places, he compares his disciples directly to being children and talks about the experience of being children. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, of human decision, or human husband's will, but born of God. Then John goes on in his first letter to share the implications of what it means to be a child of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, dear friends. Now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But what we know is that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God has appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who are the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. And finally, Paul, in his magnus opus, his letter to the Romans, writes, "For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, to all that we may also share in his glory. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a child of God." So what does this mean to us? As children of God, we are to be childlike and not childish in our faith. Maturing in the way of Jesus, not infants stuck in the way of the world. And there are some things that we can remind ourselves about and seek to do to help us live as children of God. The first thing is that we need to remember that we are loved by the Father. Those words in our reading, "follow God's example," are conditioned by the words that follow them, "as dearly loved children." Henri Nouwen struggled in many ways with knowing God's love, despite all the accomplishments in his life, and is renowned as a spiritual writer. He struggled to know he was loved by God. And in his seminal book, "The Return of the Prodigal Son," he writes this: "I now realise that the real sin is to deny God's first love, to ignore my original goodness. Because without claiming that first love and that original goodness for myself, I lose touch with my true self and embark on the destructive search among the wrong people and the wrong places for what can only be found in the house of my Father." To know you are loved by the Father is at the core of what it means to be human. Core of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To simply know you are loved by God the Father. Not everyone has had a good experience of earthly fathers or mothers. Human parental skills vary widely between brilliant and rubbish. And as their skills vary, so will our experience of human, our parents' love. Some will have a huge capacity to love, others very little. And our experience of human parents' love will affect how we view and experience God the Father's love for us. Yet we need, like Henri Nouwen, whose experience of a human father's love was not perfect, we can grow in our understanding of what it means to be loved by our Heavenly Father. What it means to be loved by one who is completely unlike any human parent, whose love is inexhaustible and unlimited, whose love never has a bad day, whose love never waxes and wanes according to the vagaries of human emotion. To know and grow in the knowledge that we are dearly loved children of God the Father is our first step in seeking to live as children of God. The second aspect we consider as we learn to live as children of God is learning to live in a way that is completely dependent upon God. We live in a world that is underpinned by the cultural assumption that we should live to be self-sufficient. That this is our life. That we are responsible for everything that happens to us. What we make of ourselves. What we accumulate. Yet that's not the picture that the Bible paints of how humanity is living. From the earliest chapters of the Bible, the picture of humanity we have is of walking closely with God in complete dependence, relying on God's providence for all our needs. Human sinfulness rejected this dependence upon God, but in becoming children of God again, through coming to faith in Jesus, we can come back into a relationship with the Father and acknowledge his trustworthiness and generosity in all things. In praying the Lord's Prayer, we begin with our Father, which acknowledges our relationship to him as a child. Then later on, we pray, give us our daily bread. This acknowledges our dependence upon our Father for the basic necessities of life. We're not praying, give us our daily quail's eggs and avocados. We're submitting our basic needs to God, the one who is trustworthy and praying provides for us. To pray, give us our daily bread, an attitude of true dependence upon God the Father for all our needs, is a radical statement of trust. But it's also a deep acknowledgement that we're his children, dependent upon him for all that we have. Then thirdly, the aspect that we seek to show in our lives as children of God is one we've already touched upon. And that is, as children of God, we need to show the family likeness in how we live. This is all about seeing yourself clothed in that new self that Paul so readily writes about in his letters. That clothing that sees the virtues of God demonstrated in our lives. In our reading from Ephesians, children of God are encouraged to put off falsehood and speak truthfully. In our anger, not sin. Not let unwholesome talk come from our lips, and instead build others up. Be compassionate and forgive. And this is just what Paul writes about in Ephesians. We'll find these marks to put into practice, let alone what he writes about in other places. But this is the family likeness that we're to clothe ourselves in. And if we are children of the Father, it's simply who we will become the more we spend time with the Father. And if we find we're not clothed like this, we're probably not spending enough time with the Father. Being the child of God is about developing the family likeness. Jesus promised that the kingdom of God will belong to those who come to him like little children should encourage us to embrace an attitude of childlikeness in our faith, whatever our age, however long we've walked the path of discipleship. We will never move beyond being beloved children of the Father. And we never should. Embrace your inner child of God. Let us pray. Father God, come and help us know that we are loved. Come and help us know that we are dependent upon you for all things. Come, help us imitate you all that we are.